No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, this is what I'm meant to do. Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
My next guest is a man who made his name originally as a celebrity chef on weekend UK TV programs, cooking and hosting. He then went on to become the host of MasterChef. Apparently it was down to himself or A.A. Gill, and he was the one who got it. He's nearly two decades in that role, which means that he has made the decisions that have made dreams come true and broken the hearts of amateur chefs for a long time. He's with us this morning. John Tarode, good morning.
G'day, how you doing?
John is, of course, as well. He's doing John Tarode's Ireland, which is going to air at RTÉ2 Friday, the 30th of June at 8:30, where he's doing a full culinary tour of Ireland. We will talk to him about that in a second. Before that, though, John, I was thinking, you have carved out the perfect gig because you get to stay close to the culinary world. You get to stay close to excellence in the culinary world. You get well paid for it, but you don't have to stand at a hot, sweaty pass.
No, I suppose one of the things is that, I've been really fortunate, and I touch wood every day, and I bless myself, and I thank the universe. I suppose, like anybody in the world now, you don't really have a career for life. I think that your careers develop, and I've been fortunate in the fact that, I love telly. I cut my teeth on live television, which I love, like you love live radio. There's nothing better than being live. There's that sort of adrenaline that goes with it. But MasterChef as well, I suppose it's one of those amazing things that when somebody said, do you think it will ever continue? I had no idea. I continue to love it. I just think it's absolutely brilliant. And then when I get to do things like, my culinary tours, which I do quite often, and this time to do Ireland, I just find myself in the morning waking up, looking out the window and really thinking, how did this all happen and how fortunate I really am. And
go back for a bit though, John. Talk to me a bit about the pressure of live TV, because I've had the privilege of standing beside a lot of TV chefs while they do their thing. And there's a lot of people who think I'm good at something. The difference between being good at something and good at something right now while people watch you to an exact time, that's proper high pressure.
Yeah, I think it is high pressure, but I think one of the things that I learned very early on, and thankfully to Richard and Judy, who, did This Morning so many years ago, was that they, Richard said to me, do me a favor and stop worrying about what the audience are thinking. They will love you if you love it. Now, and so from then on, really what I did was I cooked because of what I loved. And I think that comes over. And I think that, the timing wise, You rehearse in your head like a song, you dance it a little bit. And I think that food and cooking is a bit like that. It is a dance. It is a movement. It is a feeling. It's not just about cutting up some ingredients and putting them in a pan. It's a feeling. It's a smell. It's a sight. It gives you a heart thump when it's perfect. When somebody says, wow, that's amazing. Of course, the compliments, makes you feel great. And so, for me, it's not just about food. It's a way of life. It's a thing that happens, and it it's sort of like a mushroom, really. It continues to move and grow and change, and it's a joy. It's an absolute joy. And as I do more of it, the more I discover.
You would have cut your teeth in the culinary world in the UK in the early 90s, which was a huge period in UK cooking because it was sort of transformative in terms of the level of cuisine that was available in Britain. Who were your heroes at that stage? Who did you aspire to be?
Well, I mean, I've got to say that, you know, one of my greatest heroes was Sir Terence Conran. I mean, Sir Terence Conran was designer, restaurateur, bon viveur, you know, a man who took a chance, a gamble, who had a vision, who, you know, wanted all things for all people. He was a true egalitarian, and I feel myself to be a bit like that. I have never chased stars or accolades. I've always felt that the great thing about food is that it's there for everybody to enjoy, whether you be in a pair of shorts and a pair of flip-flops, or whether you be in a tuxedo, a tie, a ball gown and glitter, or whatever it might be. And I think he opened up the culinary world in London. You know, he made the masses see that food was affordable. He gave glamour to, you know, a piece of lamb at £9.50 and a salad at £4. That's what we opened Quaglino's with. You know, it was a pavlova at £3. I've got the original menus, and you could eat there for under £20 for three courses. It was fantastic. It was alive. It spun the world around, and I was part of that. I was one of those people involved in it. And, you know, I thank my lucky stars. He gave me this great advice once. He said to me, because I was talking about I wanted to open a hotel, and I said, the thing is, Terence, it's only your dream. He said, let me tell you something, John. Without dreams, there is no reality. And I sort of, you know, hit me, go, you've got to dream it first to have it, don't you? You've got to.
Although, how do you justify the risk of it, John? Like, I look at, even when you look at people like Gordon Ramsay and his capacity to open restaurants that fail, and you think, how can somebody be that good and have that many successes and still not be guaranteed sure that if you open somewhere, it'll work? That has to be a difficult career to be in.
Well, I don't know if anybody out there rides a bicycle, you know, goes in races, or they run triathlons, or they run marathons or anything like that. You can be as trained as you like, and there'll just be days where it just doesn't work out. And I think life is a bit like that. And I think sometimes you've got to face the reality of the fact that, you know what, for all the joy that you give, every so often there's going to be a bit of a disaster. You might get a bloody nose, but pick yourself back up. And that's what MasterChef's all about. You know, and I suppose that's what, you know, why I love to go out touring like I've done with Ireland, is that I get to meet people who have had life experiences. You know, an amazing fisherman who came over from Iran and, you know, who sort of discovered this world and found his way and didn't speak English. And I mean, you just think that's incredible. And Ireland became the adopted home, but that everybody was so welcoming. I just think there's something about failure. If it's just success, what do you get? You know, and I don't know if anybody's been watching Succession, but I mean, there it all is, you know, the ups and downs and trials and tribulations of life.
Oh, yeah. I love you, John, but you are not serious people.
I got to say, Succession is just, wasn't it?
It's so good. So good. So good.
And the fact is, there are people out there like that.
Come here, the experience of going around Ireland. Ireland has had something of a major, not revival, because we had nothing to revive. It has gone through a burgeoning, a blossoming in terms of cuisine. We now have a clatter of Michelin star restaurants where we used to have just the one. We have a number of two stars. We do have a number of two stars. And Chapter One has been long tipped now for the three star designation from Michelin. What was your experience down the affordability food chain? Because you talked about Terence Conrad giving that sense that food could be for the masses. Do we deliver at the lower price point? Because I sometimes think for that kind of affordability level, we may not be great.
Listen, you guys give yourselves a hard time. I remember coming to Britain and people talking to me going, the food's not very good. The best asparagus in the world comes out of Britain. Some of the best beef comes out of Britain. Amazing raspberries come out of Britain. You guys have incredible produce. And what you've done, and this is what frustrates me so much, is you've kept it secret from the rest of the world because you want it all for yourselves. That's what you've done. I mean, you think about things like Cashel Blue, which is just amazing. I mean, Lisbon Garden we went to, and we had the most amazing smoked salmon and some cured salmon. There's little gems all over the country. Now, it's also what people want. Let's remember what people have been brought up and what they really want. And the fact is that sometimes people don't want to have a sort of posh experience. And maybe what has to happen now is there's got to be a little bit of training around how fantastic the produce is, and that you don't have to keep on buying from other countries. You have the most amazing seafood. I went across and I had lobster straight from the bay in Galway. I had oysters, which were just absolutely delicious. And langoustine, what you call Dublin Bay prawns, which are usually exported to France. You know, all the continents buying all your produce and then selling it over there. And you go on holidays and go, oh my God, this stuff is incredible.
But is that a function of what I mean about affordability though, John? There are if you take France as a case in point, you will be able to go into a small local restaurant and get, whether it's moule frites or whether it is a local soup, whatever it might be, you tend to be able to get what was once called peasant food very cheaply that is excellent. Do we do the same with the great ingredients we have?
Go into Court Market, go upstairs in Court Market and go and eat the salt beef. I mean, honestly, it's so delicious. And, you know, there's people making amazing bread around the place. There are many people making amazing cheese. But there are little gems here and there. Of course there are. But like the rest of the world, but you know, people are trying to actually to make sure they can actually survive. You know, you've got a man in Dublin making boxty, trying to show off a great traditional Irish dish. And he's doing it in many, many different ways. It is a potato. It is affordable. It is delicious. And, you know, and don't forget, you know, a pint of the black stuff's pretty good as well. But oysters are affordable. But what we want to do with an oyster for some reason, this majestic thing that's come out of the sea, is do weird things to it. Open it up, put some shallot vinegar on it, or shake a bit of chili sauce, have a squeeze of lemon with it, and eat it and indulge it.
Well, on that note then, John, what's your analysis of where we're at in terms of the trend in food? Because I get the sense that we went through a period where everything had to be spheres and foams, and one thing had to look like another, and then it had to disappear when you put it in your mouth. To some extent, we're moving away from that to a slightly more realistic, traditional way of cooking generally. Have I got that wrong?
No, I think you're absolutely right. And, I've always been a person who doesn't understand why you would take a scallop, which has taken so long to grow in a shell in the sea, then take it apart and puree it and put it with some egg white and some chicken mousse and put it in a mold and turn it out. I don't get it. Cook the scallop in a pan. Thank you very much. Serve it with some fresh lemon across the top. Thank you very much. You talk about the French or maybe the Italians or the Spanish. They've got the confidence to do it. And that's all it needs to do is it needs the confidence to do it. And that's my case in point. All the little producers around Ireland who are doing lovely, brilliant bits and pieces, they have the confidence to do it. And this is why Dorina's done so well. Because Dorina has the confidence to say, here's a piece of cheese, here's a piece of bread. I have the confidence to say, this is the best piece of bread you're going to get here and the best piece of cheese, one of the best pieces of cheese you're going to find in the world. And I think that's exactly what we should be doing. But that's why I've loved Ireland. I've loved indulging in it, seeing the different places around the place.
This raises a question.
There's an amazing restaurant in Cork where this guy's been doing vegetarian food for 18 years.
Vegetarian though, John. Seriously, really? Vegetarian?
Look, don't eat there. Go and eat it. Honestly, eat it. It's not squirrel food. It's beautiful salsify, you know, which is grown locally. Cabbage cooked with ferments and various things that go with it. I mean, it's just delicious, delicious.
I should say, of course, I am only joking in relation to vegetarianism. If you do want to abuse me, 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. There is a thing that I have to put to you, though, John, that you have to explain to me. Because I watch MasterChef and I think back to a culinary instructor I spoke to a while ago, and he said, all the students come in here and they think they're going to be Marco Pierre White. And for the first 6 weeks, all they do is chop. And I look at the guys on MasterChef and I think, how are they able to do the things that for everybody else requires years of just indoctrination in commercial kitchens, learning the absolute basic fundamentals of cookery? Where do these guys get it? Because some of the quality on MasterChef is extraordinary.
Well, I think that this day, there's a modern age now, which has the wonder of the internet. If you want to learn how to do something, you can learn how to do it on the internet. If you want to learn how to skin a piece of salmon with your hand, you can learn it on the internet. You want to learn how to make cheese? Internet. How to make kimchi? Internet. You can learn anything you want. Whether the information's absolutely correct or not, I'm not quite sure. But what it does is allows people in their own time to be inspired and decide what they want to do. We have a world now that's opened up, and you can go and find an Asian supermarket, a Spanish supermarket, an Italian store, you know, wherever you are, and including in places like Dublin and Cork. And you're finding places like this where you can actually wander and think, what is that? And then you go home and you look at it on the internet and find out what it is. You cook something with it. And the next thing you know, you're inspired.
I don't know. I find the Asian, there is an Asian market, one of the best in the country, about 100 yards from the station. And I tend to go into it on a fairly regular basis. And usually I end up standing there completely overwhelmed. It's like watching magic happen in front of me. And I end up leaving without buying anything because I don't understand any of it.
Well, I think that's the one beauty of it is the discovery, isn't it?
Yeah, but when you can't even, you know, when you look at an ingredient and you say, not only do I not know how it, I can't even hypothesize as to what I might do with it. Do I puree it? Is that something you cook on its own? It's very, there's a whole series of those cuisines where you think, how do you even get at the starting block of this kind
of
stuff?
Well, imagine a Japanese person coming over from, I don't know where, the furthest part of Japan and seeing these potatoes everywhere. What is that?
You make
do you
a
eat
fine
it like
point.
An apple? What do you want? You have to boil it first, and then you got to mix it with milk, which I don't drink, and butter, which I don't eat, and then I make it. It's going to taste good. I don't get that, and I say that's why it's about opening up your mind. I suppose travel does that for us now. Is that if we're able to go traveling and to see different things and ask the questions, and I guess opening our mind, and that's my point about looking around. Don't always necessarily go to the same place.
So do you still cook? Do you still, like, have a nice sunny afternoon, will you whip out the barbecue?
Look, the barbecue is coming out Father's Day this weekend. Of course it is. I'm in Longleat this weekend doing a food festival in Longleat, doing some great food there. Last night I did some tofu agadashi, which is a Japanese dish with tofu and a dashi broth. I've just made myself a miso sauce, which you're going to make. I'm looking through the fridge, working out what I'm going to have for lunch. I had a little, you know, now I cook all the time. It's just part of my life. It's what I do. And it's what I love to do. And it's just, you know, you said I've got the best gig in the world. I've got the best gig in the world. No two ways about it.
Well, if you want to see John do that gig, he is going to be on air RTE2 Friday the 30th of June at 8:30 p.m. And that's episode one of John Turow's Ireland. And obviously he is then touring, as you heard, the entire country, looking at sort of hidden gems around the nation when it comes to produce and when it comes to cooking. John, great pleasure to talk to you. Thanks very much for coming on.
Wonderful. Thanks so much indeed. Have a brilliant day.
The Anton Savage Show, Saturday morning at 9 on News Talk.
No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, "This is what I'm meant to do." Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.